Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am your host, Luke Mathers. Brian is out on vacation this week, but we got a great guest joining me here on the airwaves. We've got Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. You are listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM, always streaming on the Devil Radio app, which you can download wherever you download your apps. So Dan, we are diving into the U.S. Senate race here in Wisconsin for 2022. We recapped where we were at with where we think Ron Johnson is in his decision, whether or not to run for re-election. Seems like we're both leaning towards he's going to run. It sounds like that is what all indications are pointing to. So let's now jump over to the Democratic side. We got a relatively large Democratic primary field here. Some big names jumping in, as well as a handful of candidates that I had not heard of before, but I'm very excited to see out on the campaign trail. I think a good large primary is a healthy thing for the political parties. I like it. I like when you have a number of candidates sharing their point of view and having the conversation about where the party stands, rather than just having maybe one or two candidates running and not as many choices for the electorate. So let's dive on into the Democratic Party side of your review for over at the Recombobulation area.
Yeah, so I think, like you said, it's a big field. There's a lot of people who are going to be campaigning on this race. I expect that activity to kind of ramp up in the kind of weeks and months to come here. But yeah, like you mentioned, there's kind of emerging as a top tier to a certain extent in the field, where you have Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, Milwaukee Bucks executive Alex Lazary, and Outagamie County executive Tom Nelson, kind of each in the running. And I think, from my assessment right now, I think Mandela Barnes is the front runner. He's come out of the gate a bit stronger even than many expected. I think most people would have expected him to, kind of be the early front runner just on name recognition alone. Being lieutenant governor, having a big profile like that. But I think, he led in the first quarter of fundraising. He's had more than 100 endorsements from across the state. He's had some key national endorsements ranging from a progressive like Elizabeth Warren to more of a moderate like Jim Clyburn. So I think he's definitely out front right now, but there's a lot of race still to be run.
Yeah, I think that is a very wide range of national endorsements there to get both Senator Elizabeth Warren's and Representative Jim Clyburn's endorsements. That obviously says a lot about Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And I was honestly a little shocked that it took him as long to jump into the U.S. Senate race as it did. I feel like we had a pretty crowded primary already by the time that he made that decision. But your piece kind of points it out that it's at this point his race to lose because of that name recognition that he's already garnered for the last 3 years of being lieutenant governor. But one of the interesting dynamics as well that your piece points out, and one of the things that I found fascinating about election night on 2018, is one of his one of the candidates running against Mandela Barnes, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, she was actually the candidate that performed the best on the ballot statewide in 2018, and she actually outperformed Governor Evers, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, Attorney General Josh Call, and Secretary of State La Follette. And so what does it say about almost her having the proof there that she outperformed the other candidates that she saw for her chances in the race for the Democratic primary in 2022?
Yeah, she won by more than 2%, which in Wisconsin is a pretty big margin for a statewide election, right? When we have so many elections, that come down to less than a percentage point. State Treasurer's office is not a high profile one. Many of the duties of the office have been removed over the years by the Republican legislature. But I think it still matters that she ran and won a statewide race and that she received more than, 1.3 million votes. Now, of course, that's fewer than the votes that delivered victory to Tony Evers or Josh Call. But it's still a lot of people voting for her, sending her into office. So I think that is an important factor. And I think if you look at, you know, some of the victories that Democrats have had in recent years, a lot of those victories have been by women. And I think, you know, in the Trump era, Democrats have won, I think, 8 of the last 9 statewide elections, and many of those winners were women. You look at the state Supreme Court races, you look at Tammy Baldwin's big victory 4 years ago. And so I think it's important to recognize that the majority of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin is women. And, you know, there's a big gender gap in the state. You know, I was writing about that a lot during the run-up to the 2020 election last year, and a lot of the polling. So I think, you know, I think that is an important factor. I think she of the next tier of candidates is, I would say, is the most likely to challenge Barnes. Okay. As this race goes on. But I think, you know, there's some factors working on both sides of that as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic too that you bring in, because my memory serves me correctly, I believe all three of the state assembly districts that flipped on our current gerrymandered maps are also all women candidates running that flipped those seats. So that's a fascinating dynamic that I think should be considered by voters going into 2022. I think it does say a lot that that has been kind of the trend here in Wisconsin. I wasn't thinking about the Supreme Court race as well, but thankfully we do have one of those not on the ballot this upcoming spring. So we do get a little bit of a break. Our election officials don't have to go back to work quite as quickly. They get some time off after having to deal with all these recounts and audits and review of 2020's election before we get to 2022. So interesting. My next question for you, I guess, and this would be kind of a little bit more of a curveball, but outside of the four that we've kind of identified as the top tier, then who do you think would be maybe one of the dark horse candidates, one of the candidates that maybe currently isn't thinking voters aren't thinking about as a potential winner of this Democratic primary? Who would you see, though, that could maybe catch the inside straight and win that Democratic nominee outside of the big four that we had already mentioned?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for somebody outside of that four to make a run. But, you know, I think, you know, I guess kind of going along the same lines is what could drive a victory for Godlewski. Jillian Bettino is a Wausau area radiologist, and she's running for the office as well. And she's, you know, been taking the campaign seriously too. And so I think, you know, it's a woman from the medical field running for office. I could see that. I could see her, you know, doing better than some of the others who are outside of that top four.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, I think the amount of perspective that we could receive from healthcare workers being put into elected office, I think that's been a huge thing. Some of the, I mean, healthcare, restaurant workers, these individuals that have seen the worst of the 2020 pandemic and that are now running for office going forward, I think could bring really insightful reforms to some of the things and some of the ways that the government reacted throughout the last 18 months of this pandemic and maybe for the better moving forward. So that's an interesting dynamic. So moving on from the U.S. Senate candidacy, both Democratic and Republican primaries. Let's dive into the race for governor here in the state of Wisconsin. We've got that pretty much. I feel like the deck for this one has been set since Evers won and Scott Walker lost back in 2018. But let's take your take our listeners to where you reviewed for the 2020 gubernatorial election here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the Democratic side's obvious. Tony Evers is running for re-election.
That is a pretty easy one. He made it easy. He announced his re-election campaign.
So unlike Johnson, he's made it official. He's running for re-election. It's going to be really important for Democrats to re-elect Tony Evers. I think this state quickly becomes a vessel for the worst of far-right state-level politics if a Republican is elected. But I think, you know, and I think 2018 was a great year for Democrats, even if 2022 isn't going to be as bad as some might be predicting for Democrats, it's not going to be as good as it was 4 years ago.
Right.
So Evers is going to be, has those kind of 2022 wins against him. So it's going to be a difficult battle for him as well. And, you know, it's going to matter who he's up against. And I think, you know, like you kind of alluded to there, Rebecca Clayfish seems like she's been running since the moment Scott Walker lost in 2018. But I think, and I think if you would have asked me 6 weeks ago, what would be happening in this race, I think I would have said that Clayfish would cruise to the nomination.
Yeah.
But good old Donald Trump just decided to throw a wrench into this one, by saying, I think it was, mid October, said that former Congressman Sean Duffy should run for governor. Said that just kind of right as it seemed like the field was clearing for Clayfish.
Right. It seemed just as she was about to kind of run away with the whole thing, he was like, no, I'm going to put my thumb on the scale and change the outcome. Because I think that's pretty interesting, because it's important to note that Rebecca Clayfish was not necessarily the pick that Scott Walker even wanted for lieutenant governor back when they originally ran in for 2010. And so the fact that there's already some outside conversations about not necessarily letting Clayfish run away with this nomination, I find fascinating. And so you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I got Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joining me. We're discussing 2022 elections here in the state of Wisconsin. Brian is out on vacation, but Dan's keeping me company before the holiday tomorrow. And so, Dan, what do you think about Trump throwing his name in the ring? Throwing Duffy's name out in the ring and kind of putting his influence. Where do you think that's going to lead for this primary now?
Yeah, I think, you know, the latest reports have said that Duffy's considering it. And, you know, were he to run, I think he'd probably be a pretty good primary candidate. I don't know if he'd be as good of a general election statewide candidate as Clayfish would be. But I think, and I think there was another story about another state representative, John Macko, who was also thinking of a run for governor. And I think what it really raises is the question of why they aren't rallying behind Clayfish. You know, it just seems curious at this point that it seems like she's been positioning for this run for 4 years. And here we are, you know, looking down the stretch run towards a primary. She's definitely the biggest name, you know, who's declared to run. Why are Republicans still looking elsewhere? You know, I think she'd be a pretty formidable candidate. Like, obviously she's not somebody I'm going to agree with on a whole lot. But I think she, you know, like you mentioned, she was underestimated before in that lieutenant governor race. And I think she would be a pretty good statewide politician. She might even be the favorite if she was going up against Evers, given that 2022 mass.
Yeah.
I just think it's curious that they haven't rallied around her.
Yeah. The 1848 project that she pretty much started and founded right after the loss in 2018, and the kind of the shadow campaign that she was running, the fact that she had the campaign team already put together, it was pretty much clear to anybody that was paying attention to that aspect that she was pretty much forming a campaign in waiting and going to be announcing as soon as the time came. And that the fact that that was the case and the Republican Party of Wisconsin allowed that to happen, was fine with it, didn't really have any problems with that. And then all of a sudden, now that she has announced and she's running, it's weird to me that there are still so many individuals that are considering it, and the fact that the former president is throwing names out into the ring as well against her, which is just baffling to me. So
yeah.
I think that's going to be outside of Ron Johnson's decision whether or not to run for re-election, because obviously that will shake up the entire Republican field for both races. But outside of that happening, I think a actual formidable opponent running against Clayfish in this primary is going to be the next most interesting dynamic for 2022. So I think that's something we really want to keep an eye on. So we're going to dive into the third piece of Dan's report on the preview of the 2022 elections here coming up in the next segment. But you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Bryant. I got Dan Schaefer joining me on the air today. Talking 2022, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. Only one more segment before the holiday weekend, so give us a call.